The Queensland government is flagging new laws to hold mining companies responsible for workplace deaths. The move is in response to another fatality at a Queensland mine site, the seventh death in Queensland's resources sector in 18 months. In this latest accident on Monday, a worker was trapped by a coal fall in an underground mine in the state's Central Highlands. Mines Minister Anthony Lynham says the new laws will provide more accountability.
Well, the penalties are severe, up to 20 years imprisonment for mine owners and also $10 million in fines for companies. So it is quite severe.
That's Queensland Mines Minister Anthony Lynham. Stephen Smyth is the president of the CFMEU's Mining and Energy Queensland Division. He's joined me in the studio this morning. Thanks, Stephen.
Good morning, Cathy.
Now, the government says these new laws will be introduced next year and will bring mining in line with other industries. Do you think that they're going to go far enough based on what you've seen?
I think they're a good start. They're well overdue, but I think there's a lot more work needs to be done in this area.
What area?
Certainly there's further legislation changes and amendments are required to toughen up what we call the statutory officials and how they're appointed and how they're employed at mine sites. That's another piece of work that needs to be done in line with the introduction of industrial manslaughter.
Now, the government initially proposed to bring these laws into place or include the mining companies in these laws a couple of years ago. It decided to carve out the resource sector. What's behind this change of heart?
I think the government's finally realised that they erred in their way and they should have introduced the legislation back when they introduced it in the workplace health and safety. And they realise now that workers' health and safety is most important and the fact that workers return home to their families.
There have been seven deaths in the past 18 months, as I mentioned. What's behind this spike? Do you have a sense as a union?
Yeah, we do. You know, it comes down to a lot of the employment practices, lack of supervision, lack of experience, pressure on the job, and certainly workers feeling like they can't stand up and speak out and fear reprisal. And there's plenty of evidence of that.
There was a safety reset earlier this year after a couple of deaths on mine sites. I think that was around July. What did that achieve? Did it actually get rolled out across the sector in Queensland? And did you see any results?
Certainly was. We welcomed the reset, but we always said one reset was not going to fix the culture and the behaviour of a lot of the employers. We attended a number of those, well received, but we also got a lot of feedback that, in fact, some of it was treated as lip service. But the real action is the action after the reset, what's ongoing and about how they're going to empower workers to stand up and speak out, but certainly how employers are going to change the way they do things and ensure safe workplaces.
Just going to the death this week, what do we know about the circumstances of that?
Our understanding is that Brad was working on the longwall face at the Carbra Downs underground mine and a slab of coal has come away from the face and struck him, which unfortunately resulted in fatal injuries to Brad. Still under investigation, but at this stage that's really the preliminary view, and certainly as we speak the safety reps are on site again today doing the investigation and working through it to find out the contributing factors and get to the bottom of it.
You've raised the issue of the casualised or the contracts being part of the problem within the resource sector, this increasing trend to contracts. But he was a full-time worker.
He certainly was. But I suppose what you look at is a bit broader is the people that are in charge who are supervising the roles and supervising the jobs, you know, like deputies and other supervisors who are sometimes employed as contractors, labour hire and subcontractors, and I mean they work for themselves and their KPI is terribly and unfortunately are driven by production, not by safety.
And obviously after this death it's been a huge blow, not just to resource workers in that mine but across the sector. I understand there was a memorial service earlier in the week.
Yeah, it certainly was in Moranbah on Monday night. The turnout was amazing, a massive show of respect for Brad and his family and his friends. And, you know, the unveiling of the wall there some weeks back, really the dust hasn't settled and there's another name going on that wall of a worker who never returned home to his family and friends.
In addition to these new laws, which will look at mining companies being responsible for workplace deaths in circumstances, there are also two independent inquiries underway, one specifically looking at all of the fatal incidents in Queensland mines and one focused on health and safety legislation. Are you satisfied with the way that those reviews are being played out?
I was certainly satisfied the reviews have undertaken. Really, the devil's in the detail. We've got to wait and see what the final reports look like and then what action we're taking out of those reports. Because just doing a report and putting it together and putting it forward. There's certainly got to be the actions, I call it the actions and the outcomes and how we improve things moving forward.
So in July, as I mentioned, there was this safety summit. Would you like to see another one, another reset?
I think that if there's going to be a safety reset, it can't be done like it was done last time. The whole industry would have to stop, and I know industry would be up in arms about that.
Well, I think you
were
arguing for that last time, weren't you?
Yeah, we were. And at the end of the day, industry agreed through a tripartite approach that they'd have a reset at their mines over a period of a month. The only thing industry understands is when production stops. And if you're going to be serious, you'd stop the whole industry, sit down on the same day. Now, they'll jump up and down, but something's got to change. This culture and behaviour of the employer and workers being put at risk is totally unacceptable in our view.
What would a safety reset do, though, into, if you're saying it's culture, what would that do in the short term?
I think, again, it would get people's views and focused on what's happening in the real job at hand. But, I mean, again, it's got to be a reset and the actions after it, you know. And, again, I can't emphasise enough that there wasn't enough done, and some of it was pretty happy-go-lucky at some of the operations. And, you know, and that was certainly unacceptable as well, but there's certainly more work to be done in that space.
Stephen, it looks very likely that the federal government's Ensuring Integrity Bill will pass the Senate today. Certainly, Jackie Lambie has said along that she would throw her key vote behind it unless John Setka stood down. If and when the bill passes, won't you have John Setka to blame here?
No, certainly not. John Setka is elected by his rank and file members. At the end of the day, there's a lot of politics obviously being played out here. And from the CFMEU's perspective, there's the integrity bill is what the government's obviously end goal is to attack unions, not just the CFMEU, but all unions, midwives, nurses, paramedics, the lot. So, you know, this bill will have far-reaching outcomes of it.
Once it's enacted, and it appears likely that it will the unions do? Are you going to take the fight to the streets?
I think we'll do whatever we've got to do to protect our members.
What does that mean?
That could mean anything. That could mean, obviously, considering what the integrity bill's about is first and foremost, being smart about how you go about it, but standing up for your members and looking after your members and their families.
We've just got about a minute before the news. I just wanted to talk to you about your union's construction division in Queensland threatening to campaign against the Palaszczuk government at the next state election next year over alleged mismanagement of the $5 billion Cross River Rail. Does that mean that you're also withdrawing financial support for the party?
Oh, we'll sit down with our construction brothers and sisters and we'll look at where they're going with it all, but certainly we support the CFMEU, we support the construction division and we always will. They're there for us in times of needs and we're there when they need a hand.
So you're not ruling that out then?
No, we'll consider all our options.
Stephen Smyth, thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Cathy.
Stephen Smyth is the president of the CFMEU's Mining and Energy Queensland Division. And we approached the Queensland Minister for Natural Resources, Mines and Energy, Dr. Anthony Lynham, for an interview, but he declined.